Ever wonder why your spiritual life seems flat compared with others?
Sometimes.
Today on Scandi Bible Church podcast, Elder Keith Barker opens the Bible to share a message about wheat and tares and suggests that if your spiritual life seems flat, it could be because you're in poor health or suffering from poor nutrition or maybe a lack of sleep. Or it could be that you are unsaved. And welcome to the Scandi Bible Church podcast for Sunday, November 6th, 2016. We'd like to invite you to visit our website at scandibiblechurch.org, where you can learn more about us, access past sermons, and can obtain the sermon notes for today's message. And now, let's join Keith Barker as he delivers his message entitled, The Counterfeit Christian.
So, we're going to be in Matthew 13 this morning, and as a lead into that, I'm talking about counterfeit Christianity. I'm going to read a short testimony here. I'm not going to tell you the name of the gentleman, for he's been with the Lord for many years, but I've edited this considerably and it's not necessary. So he wasn't raised as an evangelical, but he thought as a young man, I'd like to be a pastor. He wrote, during my 4 years in seminary, I never heard a single word which would lead me to a belief in Christ's divinity, that Jesus is God. They taught us the dogmas of natural religion. The New Testament was not among the books required in our theological studies. Yes, some seminaries teach a lot of things. They praised the majesty of the Scriptures, but thought it a presumption to base one's Christian faith upon the Word of God. After graduation, he was invited to preach in a little village church, and afterwards the outraged pastor said, Sir, it appears that you do not know that in order to convert others, you must first be converted yourself. One evening, the reading of Romans 5 made a profound impression upon him, justification by faith. And on the following day, working as a teacher, sitting at his desk, he was reading his Bible while the class was busy with their studies. He says, the passage I was on was the second chapter of Ephesians. And when I reached the words, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. He says, the very book seemed afire. I was so moved I had to leave the classroom. I walked about the college court saying to myself, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. He compared his conversion to the feeling of a child when awakened by a mother's kiss. Isn't that precious? He said, I immediately destroyed all my old sermons. We're going to talk this morning about counterfeit Christianity, Matthew 13. So, Jesus spoke in parables, stories that teach a truth. They have a mystery hidden within them. And on the surface, the story of the tares and the wheat or the weeds and the wheat looks like a cute little story that the children would enjoy about a farmer planting seeds. But a mystery in the Bible is a truth that we can only know through divine revelation. In the Bible, a mystery is a truth that you can't comprehend with your mind alone, something you could not learn by observation or study. You can only understand it as God gives you insights. And the mystery that we're going to be talking about this morning is the case of the counterfeit Christian. And I want to read to you from Matthew 13, beginning with verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemies came and sowed seeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into the barn.'" Now, not everyone who talks about heaven is going to heaven. That may surprise some. Not everyone who claims to be a Christian is a Christian. Brother Vance Havner, an old Southern Baptist preacher, I remember hearing him down at Cannon Beach at the conference center. He said, "Some people in churches today have been starched and ironed, but they've never been washed. Starched and ironed, but never washed. They've never been saved. They've never been born again. They've become professional pew sitters." So let's talk about counterfeit Christians and the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us in this parable that we refer to as the weeds and the wheat, or the tares and the wheat. And if you learn the truths that are here, you're going to find that there's a truth to comfort you. You'll find that there'll be a truth to warn you. You'll find that there'll be a truth to instruct you. You'll find that there'll be a truth to comfort you, because when you see all of these false cults, all of these unbelievers, all of these people who prayed around under the name of Christianity but don't belong to the Lord Jesus, we'll learn as we study this parable that God is still in control, and that'll be a word to comfort you. And in this political season, folks, God is still sovereign and still on the throne. And also, as we study this parable, you'll find that there are some who pretend to be saved and perhaps think they are saved, but they're not. That'll be a word to warn you that you need to make absolutely certain that you know that you belong to Jesus Christ. Then there's also going to be a word to instruct you, because what should we do with these people who parade around under the banner of Christianity and name the name of Jesus but are not truly his children? They are counterfeit Christians. There will be a word here to instruct us. But now let's just look at the normal sense of this parable. It's a simple story. Farmer goes out. He goes out to plant his seed. You know what these are. I don't think plastic was around then, so this is probably a bad illustration. But so the farmer went out to plant his field, and he had good seed, and he did a good job. He came back, and the sun shone, and the rain fell, and first thing you know, there's sprouts coming out of the ground, and some of his servants said, "Huh, sir, did you plant good seed?" He says, "Yes, I'm a good farmer, and I planted good seed." Well, they said, "There's something wrong here, because there's a noxious weed out there. You see, darnel, tares, there's a fungus that attaches to them, and it turns it into a deadly poison for men and animals. It doesn't attach to wheat, curiously enough." So the servants are concerned. "We don't want this darnel, these tares, growing up with the good wheat. Should we go out there and pull it up?" And you remember, as we read, "No, just leave it there." So it's a very simple story, but it has a deep, rich meaning. And folks, this might be the most powerful sermon I've ever delivered across a pulpit. Jesus had something serious to say in this parable. The disciples wanted the Lord to explain the parable, and so he does. Look, if you will, in Matthew 13:37. Matthew 13:37, and I read, "And he answered and said unto them, 'He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man.'" So the farmer is the picture of the Lord Jesus. The man who sowed the seed is Christ. Now, who are the good seed? Well, look in verse 38. "The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom." And so the wheat represents the children of God, the children of the kingdom, those who've been born again, those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It isn't complicated so far, is it? Now, what is the field? Well, verse 38 tells us the field is the world. The field is the world. And so Who's the enemy? Who did this dastardly deed of sowing tares? Well, look in verse 39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. Already the parable is beginning to make more sense. What do the tares represent? The darnel, the weeds? Well, look in verse 38 again, the last part. The tares are the children of the wicked one, the children of the devil. You see, not everyone who lives in the world is a child of God, not even the religious people. Remember, it was the religious crowd who crucified the Lord Jesus. And he said to one of the Pharisees, "You are of your father, the devil." And so the tares represent the children of the wicked one. Who are the reapers? Well, verse 39 tells us that the reapers are the angels, the last part of 39. And so they're the ones that are going to harvest both the wheat and the tares. And then what is the harvest? Well, verse 40 tells us what the harvest is. "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world." That literally means the end of the age. So at the end of this age, there's going to be a harvest time. It's all pretty straightforward, isn't it? Those are just the basic truths as we do a walkthrough. And as I always say, there's such a danger of me standing here and filling the air with sound for half an hour and accomplishing nothing that has eternal value. I try to avoid that by going to the Lord in prayer. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, I believe these timeless truths spoken by our Lord Jesus are life-changing and essential for understanding our glorious faith. And so this morning, as always, is there a child here who's ready to grasp this truth? Is there an adult here that has avoided it? However you choose, Father, glorify yourself, I ask, in Christ's name. So this morning I want to look at four truths of the Word of God. And the first thing I want you to see is the sowing of the tares in the wheat. The second thing I want you to see is the similarity of the tares to the wheat. The third thing I want you to see is the survival of the tares with the wheat. And the fourth and final thing, the separation of the tares from the wheat. Okay, now, first of all, let's notice the sowing of the tares in the wheat. Why did all of this happen? Who did it? Well, in the first place, we know that it was the work of Satan, and it tells us something about how Satan works. Satan works by imitation. Satan works by counterfeiting. You see, Satan's burning ambition is to be like God. So he's the chief counterfeiter. It's the devil who is the false farmer who has sowed the tares in God's field. Right away, we learn something. Satan is not against religion. Satan uses religion. Satan is in the religion business. Satan is up to his ears in religion. And remember, the worst kind of deception is religious deception. Satan here is counterfeiting the Word of God, and so remember that it was Satan who did this. But why did he do this? Why did he do this? Here in the parable it says, "An enemy hath done this." Tyndale translates it this way, "An envious person hath done this." And that's an apt and good translation. An envious person hath done this. So what is Satan's motivation in all of this? Satan is not interested in weeds or wheat. You say, what? Well, Satan is not interested in weeds or wheat. He's envious of God. He's trying to hurt the work of God because he's envious of God. He desires no crop at all. All he's working for is trying to pull God from his throne so that he might exalt himself. It's the work of an enemy. And so you might as well learn this, that Satan's real desire is not with you, whether you are weeds this morning or wheat. Satan is not interested in you. His real battle is with God, and he will simply use you as a pawn in his war against God. He can't get directly at God because God is God. But evil people have always known if you can't hurt someone that someone loves, and you will hurt the other person. Who did it? The devil. Why did he do it? Envy against God. When did he do it? Verse 25 tells us. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. This I speak to your shame, because some of us are asleep. The devil is sowing tares in God's field, and some have not the knowledge of God because they're asleep. How many Bibles are in your house? Have you ever read one cover to cover? Keith, you've gone from preaching to meddling now. Some of the members of your family and some of your neighbors and some who work in your office are going to die and go to hell because they're asleep. It was done while men slept, but Satan never sleeps. So there's the sowing of the tares in the wheat. Secondly, I want you to notice the similarity of the tares to the wheat. Remember what I said about Darnell looks so very much like wheat? So much so that even an experienced farmer can't tell the difference by casual observation. The Bible says the devil is so clever that he could deceive the very elect if it were possible. Now remember that the plan of Satan is to counterfeit the work of God, to imitate the work of God, and thereby to hurt and discredit the work of God. And the best counterfeit looks the most like the original. Pause. Years ago in the San Francisco Bay Area, one evening a man came to me and he said, He didn't say, huh. He said, Keith, here's that $20 bill I owe you. I said, you don't owe me 20. Trust me, I remember when people owe me money. No, you don't owe me 20. I gave it back to him. He says, look at it. I looked at it. I gave it back to him. He says, Keith, it's counterfeit. That's a counterfeit 20, and I can get you 100 of those for $5 a piece. I said, no thanks. I don't want to go to jail. And if there happens to be an FBI agent listening, that was 46 years ago, and that man is now dead, killed in a construction accident when a bulldozer rolled over on him. So it's a very cold trail on counterfeit money. I want to read from 2 Corinthians 11. I want to show you something astounding. And I'm going to invite you to go to 2 Corinthians because we're going to be there for a while. It's page 145 in the Pew Bible. Got to clear my throat. Sorry about that. For you visitors, that's it helps my... 2 Corinthians 11, page 145 in the Pew Bible. I want you to see what the counterfeiter has done. It may surprise you to know that the devil has a counterfeit Jesus. Did you know that? 2 Corinthians 11:4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, notice that phrase, and it's one of the most terrifying in the Bible, another Jesus. Red flag, red flag, red flag. There are some folks who will come to your door under the guise of religion. You open the door and you say, now, wait a minute. I want to know who you are and what you are. Tell me, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And they'll say, oh, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. Well, who do you believe Jesus Christ to be? And they'll say, oh, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. But when you get beneath the surface, when you pull away the veil of darkness, when you, with the Word of God, measure the beliefs of these people by the Word of God, you'll find out that the Jesus that they're preaching is not the Jesus of the Bible. Did you know that there are demon spirits who take the name of Jesus? Demon spirits who have been so deceptive that they've taken the name of Jesus? I want to tell you that the master counterfeiter has people going up and down the land who are preaching Jesus. But they're preaching another Jesus, a counterfeit Jesus. And some people don't have enough of the Word of God in their mind and in their heart to discern the difference. Remember, Jesus was saying, the wheat and the tares, they look so much alike. There's a counterfeit spirit. So not only is there a counterfeit Christ, there's a counterfeit spirit. Look, 2 Corinthians 11:4. If he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if he receive another spirit, which you have not received, there is a counterfeit spirit. You say, oh, I must be a Christian because I've had a spiritual experience. A spiritual experience, making contact with the supernatural, does not necessarily mean that you're a Christian. The Bible says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Many false prophets are gone out into the world, and there is one false prophet who pretends to be the Holy Spirit. Now realize, when you're dealing with the devil, you're not just dealing with something easily understood. He is a deceptive liar full of all righteousness. And once again, forgive me, I reference our political season. The tares look so very much like the wheat. Not only is there a counterfeit Christ, not only is there a counterfeit spirit, there are counterfeit ministers. Look, if you will, please, in 2 Corinthians 11:13. Let's continue to read the words and heed the words of the Apostle Paul. He says, for such are false apostles, that is, counterfeit apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. That is, they themselves say that they are apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Don't think the devil is going to come to you in red underwear with a pitchfork saying, boo, I'm the devil. That's not the way he's going to come. He's going to come primarily as an angel of light with a Bible in his hand. Look in verse 15, if you will. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The devil has ministers. The devil has them in pulpits across America. And many people look at them and they say, there's a man of God, a minister of righteousness, and he is actually an agent of the devil. That's what Paul says. That's not what Keith says. That's according to the Word of God. And when you're looking for the devil, never fail to look in the pulpits of America. You can see them on your television if you have some discernment. The devil has occupied many a pulpit, and it's no marvel because his ministers are transformed as ministers of righteousness. Now watch this. A counterfeit Christ, a counterfeit spirit, counterfeit ministers, and it goes on. There's going to be counterfeit brethren. Paul's talking about the things that he has endured as a servant of the Lord. I want you to notice again, 2 Corinthians 11, beginning in 24, he talks about the things he has suffered as a servant of Christ. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. He had 39 lashes on his back. Thrice was I beaten with rods, that is, they clubbed him. Once I was stoned, and how terrible that must have been. Can you imagine? A group of men gather around and they throw rocks at you until you just cave in under them. They left him for dead. They thought he was dead. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. He'd been 3 times shipwrecked. It goes on, a night and a day have I been in the deep. He'd been pickled in the Mediterranean, floating around like a cork for 24 hours. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. False brethren. He's reaching the climax now, the terrible, horrible things that he had to do and endure. He's saying, I know what it is to suffer. And have I suffered at the hands of some who claim to be my Christian brothers, but they're counterfeit brethren. They're not brethren at all. They're false brethren. Pay attention now. Listen, a false Christ, a false spirit, false ministers, and false brethren. The enemy is sowing the tares among the wheat. Do you see it? Go to Galatians 1. That's page 147. You're only over a page. Galatians chapter 1, page 147 in the Pew Bible. For a moment, let me show you something here. All right, Galatians chapter 1. There's also a false gospel. The man says he's preaching the gospel to you. He may not be preaching the gospel. Paul says in Galatians 1:6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. That is, it only claims to be another. There is but one true gospel. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And Paul says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That could well be translated, let him be damned or let him be condemned of God. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed. There is a false gospel. And what I'm talking about, and what I hope you've caught the point, is the similarity of the tares to the wheat. There's a whole religious world out there sowed in the field called the world. And the people are not the people of God. They don't know the Lord. They've never been born again. They are not true Christians. They are counterfeit Christians. They are tares among the wheat. In my final year of Bible college, class called Pastoral Theology, just before graduation, the professor said to us, now, young men, when you go from Bible school, the one thing I do not want you to do is to be a pastor. You say, wasn't that a pastoral theology class? Doesn't that prepare you to be a pastor? He said, no, I don't want you to be a pastor. If you can be a long-haul trucker, if you can be a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, if you can be a doctor, a lawyer, if you can be anything other than a pastor, be that. That's God's calling for you. But don't you step behind a pulpit and say, thus saith the Lord, unless the hand of God is upon you, because it's serious business, folks. That's not just for Monty and I. Every man that comes up here to read Scripture is standing before God. And boy, is it serious business. There's a blessing here if you look at it for a moment. Counterfeit Christians do not disprove Christianity. Counterfeit Christians are one of the greatest confirmations of Christianity for two reasons. Number one, every counterfeit proves the worthwhileness of the validity of the real thing. Nobody counterfeits bubble gum wrappers. They counterfeit $20 bills because they're worth something. And every counterfeit Christian is proof positive of the worthwhileness and the validity of real Christianity. I'll tell you something else. Not only is the counterfeit Christian a confirmation of the worthwhileness of Christianity, but it's also a confirmation of the inspiration of the Word of God. Sometimes people have the idea that if everybody believed just alike, and if all people who profess the name of Christ were true Christians, then that would confirm the Bible. Folks, if that happened, it would prove the Bible is not the inspired Word of God. Because Jesus said there would be tares among the wheat right up to the end of the age. The Bible says, in the last days men shall depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, if you did not find false believers, false prophets, false cults, false apostles, and counterfeit Christians, if you did not find them, it would be proof positive that this book did not come from God. You see, there's a confirming truth in all of this. And I'm glad that Jesus, in his marvelous, matchless wisdom, laid down for us here in the 13th chapter of Matthew this case of the counterfeit Christian, so that those of us who will come down through the ages will be faced with these things. We need not panic. We need not despair. We can say, yes, the Savior told us that was going to happen. It's the work of the enemy, and we understand it. So there's a confirmation and truth there that we need to not pass over lightly. I want you to notice, we talked about the sowing of the tares in the wheat. It's the work of the enemy because he's envious of God. Second thing we talked about was the similarity of the tares to the wheat. But yet, in a very real way, they confirm the word of God for us. Now, the third thing I want you to understand is the survival of the tares with the wheat. Why are the tares allowed to survive? Why didn't the farmer just say, all right, get your hoe, get your sickle, go out there and separate them and burn up those tares? He didn't say that. I'm back at Matthew 13, 28 again. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up, the tares? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. We're now speaking of the survival of the tares with the wheat. I want to make something very clear. How do we deal with counterfeit Christians? How do we deal with false cults? Our job is not to kill weeds. Get that in your heart and mind. Crusades to root out false religions are not in the will of God. They do more harm than good. And you'd make a tragic blunder if you become part of a movement that persecutes someone because of their faith. They are accountable to God and not to you. Never join a movement that exists to root out unbelievers. It's unscriptural, it's unchristian, it's unwise, and it's counterproductive. The only one that is saved that I know of for sure is me. I don't know if Russell Swank is saved. He is. I don't know that. He doesn't know if I'm saved. I am. He doesn't know that. Only two folks know if I'm saved. That's Keith and the Lord Jesus. That's it. Scripture says, what man knows the things of man save the spirit of man that's in him? Now, the last thing I want you to see is the separation of the tares from the wheat, because the Lord is coming to the harvest. Notice again, I'm in Matthew 13, 30. Jesus said to you and I, this message is more appropriate today than it was when he explained it to the disciples. Jesus said in Matthew 13, 30, let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into the barn. And notice in verse 40, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world or the end of this age. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Remember when Jesus said there'll be those at the judgment to say, Lord, Lord, we did miracles, we did wonderful things in your name. And he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Why does God tolerate tares? Why doesn't God burn them out? Why does God tolerate counterfeit Christianity? Why does God tolerate hypocrites in the church? Why does God allow all of this to go on? Is it because he's powerless? No, of course, he's God. But he has a divine plan, and God does not put in the sickle to harvest until the wheat is ripe. Do you see that? The wheat is going to be harvested when it is ripe, but also the tares are going to be harvested when they are ripe. I'm taking you to one last place in Scripture, if you would please, Revelation 14. That's page 196 in the Pew Bible. Pardon me while I clear my throat again. A lady from Montana said she really enjoys it when I do that on the podcast. Revelation 14, 14, page 196. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, "Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." The harvest of the earth is ripe. You see, the end of the age is the harvest. Why does God wait until the end of the age? He's waiting for the crop to ripen. There's a good crop that is ripening, and there's an evil crop that is ripening. And someone's saying amen there. And folks, you could not be rewarded right now because your reward is not ready, because your crop is not ripe. What about the ungodly? What about false teachings? What about the blind leader leading the blind standing in the pulpit this morning? What about false religionists? What about that man who does not stand on the Word of God? There's coming a time when God Almighty will place the final period on the final sentence of the final paragraph upon the final page of the final chapter of history. And the harvest will be reaped because the iniquity will be full. God's timing is always perfect. He is rarely early, but he is never late. He's told us there's coming a time when there will be a separation of the tares and the weeds. Now, having said these things, beware that the devil would just as soon send you to hell from a pew as from a gutter. Do you know that you're saved? Does God's Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God? The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 13, that a man is to examine himself to see whether he is in the faith. I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. If you're truly saved, I could not get you to doubt it. What I'm trying to say is, dear friend, do you know that you've been born again? Do you know that you're saved? Don't let a few hypocrites in a church cause you to spend eternity in hell. Don't ever make the mistake of casting your eyes upon the faults of someone rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let a counterfeit Christian keep you out of heaven. You may be a tare, but only God can make wheat out of tares, and he will, by repentance and faith. If you'll repent of your sin and trust Jesus, I don't care what you've been, religious or non-religious, counterfeit Christian or infidel, deceiver or deceived, I'll tell you this much. If you'll trust Jesus today, he'll save you today. And so the Lord lets both grow side by side. If you're an unsaved person, whether you're a counterfeit Christian or an open infidel, let me tell you something. Don't take refuge in the fact that judgment has not yet come. It's not harvest time, folks. It's not harvest time. You may be a proud-looking tare. You may be mingled in among the wheat today. There's not one of us experienced enough to say that person's a tare and that person's a wheat. But God knows. And I pray that you know whether you've been born again or not. You may say, well, I'm getting along fine. Those folks sang a hymn. I sang a hymn. They said amen. I said amen. I just mingle with them. But there's coming a time of separation, folks, when the harvest is ripe. But it's not harvest time yet. But God does have a harvest time. You may deceive those who plant. You may deceive those who water. You may deceive those who fertilize. You will not deceive God's reapers. Thank God for a book like the Bible. Without the Bible, we wouldn't be able to understand all this. Folks, do you agree? This is an amazing parable. This is powerful. Jesus hid the truth from the Pharisees that heard it. The disciples had to say, we didn't understand that. Is that a simple little story about a farmer? No, it's powerful. I want to tell you, folks, that God has looked down through the corridors of time and he gave us this parable of the weeds and the wheat and the case of the counterfeit Christians. It's here for our instruction. Perhaps someone's had their eyes open this morning. As I say, perhaps the most powerful message I've ever given. Let's pray together. Father God, within these walls or through the wonder of the podcast, is there someone today who says, oh me, I need to get into the Word of God? I pray that I'll have discernment to know, Jesus, are you truly in my life? And folks, it's the gift of grace. God's offering it to everyone. You need only come to that place where you say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Oh, Jesus, take my life. I offer it to you. Glorify yourself through me in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, that wraps up our sermon for this week. Thanks again for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line through our contact page on scandybiblechurch.org and let us know where you're listening from and how our church family can pray for you. As a reminder for your listening convenience, you can also catch Scandia Bible Church podcasts on iTunes, on Stitcher Radio, and now on Google Play. Scandia Bible Church is located in the beautiful Northwest in Paulsboro, Washington. If you ever find yourself in our area, we'd love to meet you. So until next week, for all of us here at Scandia Bible Church, may God richly bless you.